Hello, welcome to Grow and Glow Podcast. Happy New Year! Happy New Year, guys. Welcome again to another episode of Grow and Glow Podcast. Today, we are going to be having very special people on this episode. I'm going to be having two guests on my episode today. And today, we are speaking on depression. How to overcome depression. Depression is something I've seen that I would say it's eating lots and lots of people every day. It's eating them up. Not like it's killing them, but it's eating them slowly. And I feel it's an issue we need to address to youth, to everybody, not just the youth. So I brought two special guests here to speak to us on how to overcome depression. I hope as you listen to them, you would learn and you also see some mistakes you've been making and also learn how to overcome depression. Depression is not for anybody. You should not be depressed. You should not be depressed. So guys, hold on.
Hey Grace, what's up? How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome to Grow and Glow Podcast.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, thank God. You're welcome. And know you're the first guest I'm ever having on this podcast. I'm so great. I'm so happy.
I'm shouting "Oh!" with all my strength.
Shout it well, please.
Okay. Exactly.
You shouted it well. Okay. All right. So today we're going to be talking about depression.
Okay. Okay.
Talking about overcoming depression. You know that's why you're here. Before we talk about that, please introduce yourself. Tell us about you.
My name is Emmanuel. Among friends, I am mostly known as Mark. Mark the Lord, but Mark for short. So, I guess only family members and some very, very close and select group of people call me Emmanuel. So basically, Emmanuel is a digital communication specialist. That means that I write content. I create content for the digital media, kinds of digital media, I mean, websites, social media sites, and stuff like that. I create content for them, and I'm also an investment banker. In fact, I have an investment company. I run an investment company with a friend, and basically, paramount of all, I am a child of God. I love God, and I love to tell people about Him through whatever I do, which most of the time is through my writing, because my writing defines me. I am nothing without my writings. Like, remove writing from my life and I'll practically be empty, because writing is beyond my talent, it's beyond a gift, it's my ministry, it's my calling. And that's why I write stories, I write poems that draw people to God, that open people's eyes to God and to His love. So that's basically what you should know about me at first glance.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, so we're here to talk about depression, and I want to know your opinion. What do you think depression is?
Okay, depression, like I would always say, depression does not have a definite definition, so to speak. Depression can only be described. And if you're describing depression, the description of depression is only, what's it called, is particular to each individual, because we all experience depression in our own unique way, in our own different ways. But to me, I would say depression is a state of mind where you have no joy in living. Like, you are in a perpetual state of sorrow. You find no joy in living. You find no joy in life. Everything is just so bleak. Everywhere you turn, you see darkness. Everywhere you turn, you see darkness. You lose hope. You lose courage, and you entertain thoughts of death. Sometimes it gets as bad as that. You become so obsessed with death because you feel death is the end of everything. Maybe death is going to help you stop you from, you know, feeling that way, because you feel so abnormal. Depression is not. So basically, depression is something you can only experience, to know it intimately. It does not have a definite description, or sorry, it does not have a definite definition, so to speak.
Okay. What do you think causes depression?
Okay, a lot of things could cause depression, and being a spiritual person, I would say one of the number one causes of depression is spiritual attacks. I am an African man, and most importantly, I'm a Nigerian, and most importantly, I'm a Yoruba guy. So of course, I believe in the power of Jesus. I believe in the power of Jesus to break chains, but at the same time, I acknowledge that actually spiritual forces, evil forces, they exist. And many of them are there to torment people, especially people that are not under the shadow of the Almighty. So a major cause of depression is spiritual attacks. Then we also have pressure, peer pressure, parental pressure, a whole lot of pressure, like different kinds of pressure could also lead to depression. Because okay, for instance, now there is something we call post NYSC depression. It's a thing. I just finished my service, and I discovered that majority of the guys we served together, they already have a job. Many of them are already working. They're already working their father's company. They have cars. They are living large. And here am I, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months after service, I have nothing to show for it. Of course, you feel depressed. So yeah. those kind of pressure, societal pressure too, could also cause depression. Then sometimes too, acute failure or repeated failures could also cause depression. You know, when you keep on recording failures upon failures, you get to a point you feel like, am I the only one? And before you know it, you start feeling so bad. So a whole lot of things could cause depression. In fact, a whole lot. You can never limit the things that can cause depression, because for me, what could cause depression for me is not what would cause depression for another person.
Okay.
So a whole lot. But like I would say, I think the number one major cause of depression is spiritual attacks, because whatever happens in the spiritual will automatically reflect in the physical. So that's it.
Okay, all right, thank you. But can you tell us what led you into depression? You know, you said you once had an experience with depression. What led you into depression?
Okay, yes. I think a lot of things led to my own experience with depression, a whole lot of things, but I believe it started from pressure, from societal pressure. I won't call it societal pressure, I would call it a kind of religious pressure. I am a first son, a first child of a pastor in a known church. My dad is a redeemed pastor. My mom is a deaconess, and not only are they just pastors, these guys are top pastors in Redeem. So right from a tender age, there has been this standard that has been set for me. Like, I am a pastor's son. I am not allowed to do this. I'm not allowed to do so. There were a lot of things I could not do. There were a lot of things I could not express. There were a lot of things I passed through that I could not tell my dad, because he would not understand, or he does not have the time to even sit down to understand me. Many times I would tell my dad, I'm going through. Many times I would call him and tell him I'm going through this or that, and the next thing he would do is to lead me back to Christ again. But I can't count the number of times I gave my life to Jesus.
Okay.
so many times I'll be like, this is not what I need. I'm not really not the fact that you need Jesus, but at the same time, there are some things. There are some situations that you actually have to approach them practically.
Yes.
So I was under this, everybody was looking at me, the church elders, the deaconesses, even my own mates in the teens church and the youth ministry, they were all looking at me. So I had a kind of image, a kind of front to put up to show people that, okay, fine, I'm the ideal pastor's child, and yet I have serious inner struggles with my identity, with my sexual life, with my emotions, with my academics, with practically every aspect of my life. So I have serious struggles, but I can't share them with people. I can't share them with my parents. I can't share them. I had no friend I could trust that I could share them with. So all these things, so it was like I was bottling up my feelings till it got to a point the bottle just burst apart, and all the feelings that I've been trying to bury just began to overrun.
Wow.
So it was like people would come to me, youths like myself would come to me for counseling. You know, I would counsel them, give them advice. Advice could work, but I do not have anybody to run to for counseling myself. So it was like the pillar supporting a house without its own iron frame, because every pillar needs its iron frame. Mm-hmm. So imagine a pillar standing and there is no iron frame inside it supporting it. That pillar will keep on standing, but one day it will crumble and it is going to break into pieces. So that was basically what happened. So there was this kind of pressure, there was this kind of societal pressure. Then after that, there was this kind of peer pressure too. Of course, my dad being a pastor doesn't automatically mean he's a rich man. So we're just an average class. So I would see many of my mates, you know, living large and stuff, and here am I, I'm unable to live large, and of course I can't ask from my parents because I know they don't have it. So I had to deal with lack several times, and you know, then because of this, because of the lonely state of my heart, I needed solace, I needed release. So I started turning to the metaphysical arts, then the dark arts. I started reading up on, you know, things that I should not be reading up on. They started influencing my mind. And before I knew it, I started thinking negatively, perversely. I became so obsessed with the issue of death. I wrote poems on death. I wrote, you know, I became so obsessed. And in fact, there was even a time I faked my own death.
Are you serious?
Like, it went viral, like on social media. I was in 200 level then at the University of Ibadan. So I was that oppressed by depression, and I was that obsessed with debt and everything. I there was no vibe for me to live. So, and okay, fine, I felt like if I die, are people even going to miss me? I mean, that's the way it starts. Like, I felt so insignificant, and I felt like, fine, if I die, will they even miss me? So I did that experiment then, and I created another Facebook account, logged on to my school Facebook group, then announced my own death through the fake Facebook account.
Wow.
Now when people saw it, people were like, mark the Lord, mark the Lord, what happened to it? Like, the news went, before I knew it, people started calling my lines, people started trying to find out. My HOD from my department, even from my faculty, like they were, so it was, that was when, before I knew it, what started as just an experiment for me became something people took so serious, and before I knew it, it went out of my hands. And I think that was the turning point for me.
Wow, that was serious.
So that's it. So that was the turning point for me. That was because it was from that point I was like, so actually there are actually people who, to some extent, superficially or not, so people actually do care. So I guess that was where the turning point started.
Okay, all right. And you were saying something like you tried to tell your dad about what was going on, but at some point he was not really getting it.
Were
there other people you tried to tell what was going on, and what did they say? How did they react? And were people really aware of that you were passing through depression? Were people aware of that?
Okay, I think one thing everybody should know is depression is not obvious. That's one thing people should understand. It's not obvious, and even people that are passing through depression, you don't know unless you move really, really close to them. In fact, the people that pass through depression are usually the live fire of the party.
True, very true.
Like, these are the people you meet in social gatherings, and you know, they're always so active, hyperactive, they're always so playful and stuff. But for someone of my own nature, naturally, I am a choleric person. And this translates to the fact that I'm a very reserved person. So naturally, I don't talk. I don't associate with people, so to speak. I have a very select friend. I don't have so many friends, and even when I'm among crowds, I always keep to myself. That's the kind of person I am naturally. So it would not have been easy for people to know that I'm actually going to anything, because I don't have much friends. So that's number one. Then number two, the people, someone like me, I tend to over intellectualize things. Like, I think a lot about things. I over intellectualize things, and so even if I'm trying to explain things to people, they tend not to understand me on the long run, and they're like, "Guy, what are you trying to say?" So it was never easy for me to communicate to people that, okay, this is what I'm going through. And over time, since people could not understand me, over time, so I learned to bottle my feelings. I just learned to look away, and I just learned to put up a front for people, a facade for people. And of course, my mom was there. My mom was ever caring, ever willing to listen and stuff, but she I think to some extent, it just never occurred to me to speak to her. Let me just put it that way. It did not really occur to me to speak to my mom. Maybe I subconsciously felt she might not understand, because since I've told other people and they didn't understand, so I felt, okay, why would my mom understand if people like me, if people that are of my own age and, you know, my age group would not understand? So I never bothered to tell her. So, and the little people I told, the few people I told, they did not understand. So I just kept to myself.
Okay, wow. All right. So now that you're over depression, everything about depression has been taken care of, you're healed, everything is going on, how have you been coping with life? How has it been? How is life after depression? Let me put it in that way.
Okay. Well, life after depression is life. Let me just put it that way. Like, there is number one, there is nothing like being able to live and being able to actually enjoy living, being able to enjoy the little things, the little joys that come from living. You know, like I said, I never really got to finish my story. I said it was until that stunt I pulled and I discovered actually the fool who cared. That was the turning point for me. And I think I began to... Okay, there were friends who actually came around. I was like, "Guy, what's up?" Because there were friends who eventually knew I was the one who pulled that stunt. When they discovered that I was not dead, actually. And so there were people who understood me to the extent that they knew that it was Mark who did this. Mark was the one who did this. Up to date, some people still did not know who pulled the stunt on me. But some of my very closest friends knew that I was the one who pulled the stunt on myself. So it was like, for him to have done this, then something is terribly wrong with this guy. We really need to move close to him.
Yes, I am.
Are you there? So they knew something was terribly wrong with me, and they knew I needed help. So before I knew it, the people came around and they started speaking to me. We started talking, and I think one of the major things that helped me leave it, that helped me, was that these people opened my eyes to what it means to actually live. Mm-hmm. Now, I think one of the things that caused depression for me then was that I did not really have a working relationship with mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. So, and some of the first thing these guys did was to actually help me to create a relationship with Christ. So, but when Christ came in fully and I started having a relationship with him, my mind began to open to life. I began to see the little joys of living. I began to see the little happiness, the little joys in nature and everything. So since then, what I've just been trying to do is to, you know, continue to see what life has to offer. Continue to see the joys, the happiness, the little pleasure I can derive from life. And ever since then, I think it has been easier for me to see why I should live, to see why death is not the option, to see why sorrow is not the option, to see why, you know, like depression would always be an option, because I got to know that depression is an option. You can actually choose to be depressed, and you can choose not to be depressed. So when life attacks you, you can choose whether to face it with a happy mind, with a joyful mind, or with a negative mind. So I realized that fine, I can actually choose my responses to the attacks of life. So that is what I've been doing. I've been consciously choosing my responses to what life throws at me. So anytime I face and I'm facing an encounter, sorry, I'm facing a kind of obstacle now, rather than just go sorrowful and sad and start thinking, what am I going to do now? What I just do is, I just, you know, approach that thing with a happy mind, with a joyful mind, and, you know, it helps me overcome. It helps me overcome those obstacles, and it keeps depression at bay, because depression is like, for someone like me who has experienced depression, depression is always lurking around, wanting to come back again. So, the continuous positive choices we continue to make is what will keep the door locked against depression. So like depression has been, of course, has been full of up and downs. I won't say there aren't times I've not been sad. There are times I've been sad. There are times I've been, you know, disappointed at life. But at the same time, I've always chosen in the end to, you know, to be joyful and to be thankful.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Like, I'm sure anybody listening to this must have learned something by now. Thank you so much, Ima. So,
you're
also kind of telling us that the kind of friends we keep and the positivity we have in life matters a lot.
A lot, a whole lot.
As human beings, as young people, as guys and ladies, we should learn how to have good friends that will help us and see when there's a need to be there by our side, right?
And exactly. Exactly.
And also, we should also adapt a positive mind and have positive thoughts and just be happy, bring in happiness in everything we do, right?
Exactly. And of course, never forget the Jesus factor, is because only Jesus can give true joy. Only Jesus can give true happiness. So, of course, there are people who have this kind of Hakuna Matata attitude towards life. You know, just be happy, no worries and everything. But without, only Jesus can help you sustain that kind of attitude. So if Jesus is not there, if the Holy Spirit is not living in you, you can never sustain that kind of attitude. So I think that was basically what actually helped me. What helped me sustain that character, that attitude. That was what helped me cultivate the habit of joy. Because joy is an habit.
Yes, it is. It is.
So that's basically.
So, all right. Now we're going to call in our second guest right now. We're going to be calling in Cece.
Okay.
So, don't worry. We'll hear from Cece. We have our second guest here, and she would love to say something about depression. She would just love to say something. So I'll be calling Cece now.
All right.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Cece.
Yeah.
Welcome to Grow and Glow Podcast.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, can you hear Cece?
Yes, I can hear Cece. She sounded somehow.
Okay, Cece, he said you're sounding somehow. Okay, Cece, welcome to Grow and Glow Podcast.
How am I sounding like?
I don't know. How is she sounding like you?
She sounds like a very, very small girl. A very, very small girl to me.
Okay, I sound far.
No, he said you sound small, like a very small girl. I wonder why.
Well, I'm not old.
Uh-huh. You see?
I see. How big is that, Jerry?
Okay. Well, we have here my second guest, my second special guest, Cici, from Beautiful Yet Godly. Cici is the founder of Beautiful Yet Godly. If you don't know Beautiful Yet Godly, check them out on Instagram, check them out on Facebook, check them out on Twitter. Cici, yes, so you're welcome again.
Thank you again.
Yes. So today we're talking about depression, and I would love to know your advice on depression. What advice will you give to anyone listening to this episode that is feeling depressed and think that is the end, that this has reached the end of it?
Okay. Thank you very much, Grace, for having me on the Grow and Glow podcast. And thank you to the previous guest also. Emmanuel, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
A lot of justice on the topic already. Okay, so some days ago I was thinking about those that might suffer depression. I don't know, this part of the Bible just dropped in my heart. Isaiah 60 verse 1 dropped in my heart some time ago when I was, you know, thinking, I don't know whether I was listening to something and or I just was thinking about it. I really do not know exactly now, but I know this that scripture dropped in my heart. Isaiah 60 verse 1. I'll be reading it from my Bible here. I have my Bible, and if you have your Bibles there, just you can do well to also open to the Bible verse. Isaiah 60 verse 1. I'll be reading in a different version, but I'll go with KJV first, right?
Okay.
So yes, Isaiah. Okay. So Isaiah 60 verse 1, and there it says, "Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Okay, let me read the Message translation. It says, "Get out of thy bed, Jerusalem. Wake up, put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. Get out of thy bed, Jerusalem. Wake up, put your face in the sunlight. God's glory has risen for you." I was just telling myself, and you know, even this thought just kept coming, that whoever is suffering depression, many times what you need to do is just to get up and look. It says, this part of the Bible says, put your face in the sunlight. Actually, people suffering depression have a responsibility to get up and look and put their faces in the sunlight. The sunlight here we have, the sunlight we have right now, our Son of Righteousness is God. Jesus is our Son of Righteousness. Get up. But first, you have a responsibility to get up and then look. You know, in the Bible, that time where Moses lifted up a serpent, and he said, "Whoever shall look to this serpent shall live." Some people did not look at the serpent, and they died from the bite of the serpents that were on the floor. Mm-hmm. Some people did not look at the golden serpents. They died from the bite of the serpents that were like the live serpents. But those that looked to the golden serpent, they lived. They lived. That serpent, we got to learn later, was just like the same. It was a representation of what was to come, of Jesus being raised on the cross. And whosoever shall look at Jesus on the cross will live. Those suffering depression have a responsibility to get up from their bed, get up from the depression, even though, you know, I know that sometimes it's very difficult to actually get up. Actually, the work is in the getting up itself. That's where the bulk of work lies. The work is in the getting up from your thoughts, getting up from depressive and suicidal thoughts, getting up from, that is where the bulk of work lies. But if you can just get up all the same, you know, and hold on to the promises of God and look, you know, I'll talk about 2 points. You can look by, you know, sharing your burden with people, right? You can look. Sometimes you will be looking, but you can't see. Sometimes there are people looking to God's word for assurance, but they cannot just see it. Mm-hmm. So you might need people to guide you to see. So sometimes you might need to call on a church. No, you might need to call on a church. When I say church, I mean your fellow believers. You might need to call on people that, you know, that can be of help to you, and not the same people that have been, you have been surrounding yourself with yourself, you know. So you need to get up and look. Actually, the Bible says, "Show your vision upon you." When you look to the cross, when you look to Jesus, when you look through people that can guide you to Jesus, I tell you, the glory of the Lord will really rise upon you. You will see hope. You will see a renewed hope, a refreshed strength. You will receive strength. It has happened many times, you know, many times and counting. Depression is of the devil. God doesn't want any of his children to be depressed. Mm-hmm. That's why his promises are there for us. But sometimes when you cannot even see the promises, take advantage of the people he has placed around you, mm-hmm. you know, of the godly people. I must say that, not people that would encourage you to do things that would harm you just because to make yourself happy. Take advantage of the godly people God has placed around you. And, you know, look at the cross, look at the promises. Get renewed again. Get refreshed again. Depression will not last forever. Actually, you won't be depressed forever.
True.
But at that point where you need to make that decision, just go ahead and make it. I pray that God is going to give us the grace. And as many people listen to you, to see that are depressed, God is going to give you the grace to get up and look in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Cece.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're welcome, Cece.
Emma, is there anything else you would like to say?
Well, I don't think so. In fact, 6 years, she said practically everything that was on my mind. You know, I mentioned too that the depression is usually a satanic attack, and of course the only way to get out of it is through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and she said almost exactly the same thing. So you see that the Spirit of God is one. So I don't think I have any other thing to say, but that I think we should say a prayer for, you know, everybody out there who is depressed. And
all right, so Cece, please, can you say a prayer for anyone listening to this episode wherever they are that are feeling depressed? Want you to say a prayer for them, please.
Okay, so whoever is suffering depression, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the Bible says Christ in us is the hope of glory. Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus Christ died on the cross and brought hope for you, right? The depression you are feeling is not of God, as never can never be of God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, Father Lord, we thank you for your children. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We thank you for those that, you know, you have created in your image and in your likeness. We thank you because for those that you have put your spirit in. We thank you for as many as are listening to this episode right now. We give you all the praise for their lives individually, collectively. Lord Jesus, we are saying thank you. And Lord Jesus,
thank
we pray in the name of Jesus that as many as are suffering depression right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray that every shackle be broken right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray that whatever lies the enemy is telling to them, because depression many times as a result of lies, oh, you failed again, oh, you cannot make it again, oh, look at your mate, they've gone. Those are lies of the devil, lies and lies. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says, let God be true and let all men be liars. In the name of Jesus, we pray right now that as many as have been, you know, receiving lies to their spirit, receiving lies to their ears, receiving lies through any channel at all, in the name of Jesus, we break that hold right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray for freedom. I pray for joy. I pray for peace. I pray for renewed hope in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers.
Thank you, Jesus.
For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, too.
Emma, I appreciate you.
Thank
Cece.
You, too.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Thank you, too.
And I will continue to say, you guys are my first guest on this episode, on this show. And I'm so excited. I am blessed to have you guys here and listening to everything today about depression and how to overcome depression. I know anyone that will listen to this episode has learned a lot and will fight depression and overtake. We will be the winner. So thank you so much.
Amen.
You're welcome, Grace. You're welcome, Grace. All right.
So I want you guys to do something for me before you go.
Okay.
Normally I would just say bye bye. So I want you guys to like tell
you
my.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Hello?
Oh my God.
Hello, I didn't get that. No, sorry, MP wants to disgrace me. No, what is it? Sorry. Thank you so much for coming on this show.
Okay.
I will just cut the call now before they do what they want to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Gracie.
Okay, so... why are you laughing?
No, it was just funny. I'm not laughing. I'm smiling.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm seeing they have no respect.
Wow,
like,
oh my God. Okay. I think I'm not going to cut this. You are going to be here. Let's do the conclusion together.
All right.
So now, I want to give a big shout out to BYG Nation.
Oh, yeah. BYG Nation, BYG community. Uh-huh.
So we're giving a big shout out to BYG Nation. Please and please, if you are listening to this and you've not joined us on Facebook, okay, Ma, what will happen? Please tell them.
What happened in 1978 will repeat itself. Oh. Hey. I don't want to tell you what happened in 1978, but if you are still out there and you are not part of the BYG community on Facebook, of course, we call ourselves BYG Nation, and you do not follow the page, which is Beautiful Yet Godly, and you are not following the Instagram and like this Instagram account too, which is also Beautiful Yet Godly. And I think we have a Twitter account and that is the Beautiful Yet Godly. So if you are not following all these social media platforms and you are not reading posts from the website, that's beautifulyetgodly.com.
Yes.
You are missing out a lot. And I am afraid what happened in 1978 to some people is about to happen to you. Like really. So it's not a joking stuff.
It will happen again. Okay, guys. And guys, if you have any question, you can to ask Ima or to ask Sisi, you can ask Sisi on Beautiful Yet Godly on Instagram, on Twitter, or Facebook. That's how you should join our community. Then if you have any question, contribution to this episode, you can also ask me on Instagram. And Uncle Ima too. I'm calling him Uncle Ima, I know. Don't worry, you can remove the uncle if you want.
Gracie. I thought we agreed about this uncle thing.
Please, we're in Nigeria. We respect who we are meant to respect. So as
I
we
see. Wait, how sure are you that? How sure are you that I am? I'm a very young guy. I'm a small boy. Seriously, you see me?
You see me?
I'm probably, I'm probably younger than you.
Please, guys, thank you so much for joining us here.
All right, guys, it's nice talking to everybody. It's nice being on this show. Thank you so much, Gracie, for the opportunity.
Enjoy yourself as you listen to this episode where Ima spoke about his depression experience, spoke about how he overcame it, spoke about steps he took, how his friends helped him, and also how Jesus Christ has been there for him and helped him to be stronger than who he was before. And also we had Sisi calling. Yes, we had Sisi from Beautiful Yet Godly calling, and she's just said one or two things about depression and also how the Spirit of God will be there for us every time, and how depression is not of God, it's from the devil, and you are not meant to be depressed. So guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Like, I'm so excited. This is so fun. And guys, if you want Sisi to come on again and Emmanuel to come on again, you can send me a yes to growandglow_podcast. Send it to me on Instagram. Send it to me on Instagram on growandglow_podcast. And I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time next time. Yes, a wonderful time next time. We're going to have another episode. and I'm going to bring on another special guest. So guys, stay tuned for more and have a great day. See you. Bye.